Hey, it's Ron Jacobs for App Fabric TV, and today I'm going to show you two new things that I just added and released today to Microsoft.Activities. And the first one is thanks to this guy, whoever you are, thank you, because what he did is he went to our CodePlex site and he logged an issue. And so you see here there are issues, and some of these are about Microsoft Activities or unit testing or state machines, but you can put anything you want here. In fact, I've got some issues here of things that people are asking about, and you can vote on issues that you like. Now, what he did is he posted this issue here, and he said that basically I had a blog post where I say how you can invoke a child workflow, and he's saying, well, that's great, but when I do that, no tracking information. And he was right. In fact, if you look at this, here's the behavior you see before, the little tracking output from a unit test. And you can see that I invoke a workflow, it starts invoking. There's the interactivity that's going to invoke and the arguments that get passed. But then the invoke workflow goes idle and then it's closed. And we never saw anything from the interactivity. So I wanted to make this work. Now, this turned out to be a fairly tricky bit of code, and I'm not going to go into exactly how it works. You can look at it if you want to. But here is the same unit test that that we were running before, and let me just run this test, and you can see what happens when we do this, because it's very cool, the output of this. Now, here is one where I have invoked a workflow, and this one did load and invoke, so it loaded some XAML. So here's the XAML file, the add to number throw.xaml, and we can see that it loaded it, and then, so here's load activity. It loaded it, and then the next thing, invoke workflow, started. And then watch this. So here's our load and invoke workflow. It went idle. But look what happened now. Dynamic activity started, and now we start getting tracking information from the XAML file. So we can see what was happening in there. We see it has an if activity and a sign, and so forth. And then the dynamic activity was closed, and then here the dynamic activity was completed. And then we get back to the outer workflow, the parent workflow, and it invoke workflow is closed, the sequence closed, and the whole thing ends right down here. So cool, right? Because we had this idea, and basically what we did was there's a problem when we go to invoke a workflow. You can't get a hold of what the tracking provider is. And there might be more than one tracking participant, I should say. And you can't look in the extensions collection to get them. So basically what I had to do was add a tracking provider. While the inner one is working, I store up the records, and then when it's done, I spew out those records into the tracking provider for the parent workflow. And it's a little more complicated than that, but that's about all we can talk about there. So that's one thing that we did that was pretty cool. And I have a nice blog post on that right here. And there's really nothing you need to know except for that you need to go get NuGet, the Microsoft.Activities 1.8.3. And when you do that, the tracking will just work. You don't have to do anything, configure anything. Now, let's talk about issue number two, which I added to this release. Now, this is the blog post I have about initialization, syntax, and arguments and activities, all right? So you can read about this here, and I'm just going to show you some code that I wrote with this post. Now, let's look at this little method here, say hello simple. Now, look at this. Doesn't that look great? I mean, you just say workflow invoker invoke, say hello simple, name equals Ron. Now, if you don't know anything about workflow and you look at that, you would think, oh, well, there's a class called say hello simple. It has a property called name equals Ron and is probably a string, right? And you would probably think that. And that's what looks like what's going on. Now, if you look at the workflow, you see here's say hello simple, and we see it does have an argument, name is string, and all that. That's pretty cool. And this totally works. And you know, it's fine. It looks good. Now, I have been saying that if you do this, if you new up this object every time you run this workflow, you will pay a significant performance penalty. It's because every time we create a new one, we have to run cache metadata and compile VB expressions and so forth. Now, we don't do it when the constructor is called, so the constructor looks fast. But the first time we invoke it, if we haven't done cache metadata, we will do it, which will slow it down. I have a whole blog post on that. So if you're going to invoke this more than once, you should create it once and hold on to it and use it over and over again. In that case, passing an argument like this is not really great either, because this is more like saying, well, anytime I create one of these, I want Ron to be the default property for the name. But you can see, because I've got a little add-in for Visual Studio here, that name is not a string. It's an inargument of string. So what's happening here is we're doing a little conversion magic to convert the string into a literal of T, and we initialize the inargument from that. Okay, so now what happens if we go to this one? Now in this one here, let's say that I decided I want to use a person. Okay, I have a person object. And so then what I'm going to do is, let's get rid of this line here, we don't need that. Okay, so what I'm going to do is invoke my workflow with me as the person. Right, does that work? Well, let's watch and see what happens. I'm going to run this. And you see this exception that happened? Literal person. Well, literal only supports value types in the immutable type system.string. Okay, so you can't use a person there. All right. So right off the bat, we have an issue. How do I pass a person into my workflow? Now, this workflow here, I have modified it to accept a person and return an out argument of string, right? Okay, so let's take a look down here. What do you have to do? Well, here's the way you do it. You construct your person, then you construct a dictionary, and you set the name value pair there, so there's person and me, and then I modify this to pass the input there. Okay, and then I can get the output, and if I want to access the greeting, I have to do the dictionary indexer. Okay, that's all right, but now let me show you what I did with Microsoft.activities. I created a new type called workflow arguments. And this type is meant to be used dynamically. So you declare it this way. You say dynamic input equals new workflow arguments. And dynamic just says, hey, compiler, don't worry about this. I'm going to type some stuff here. Don't worry about it not having, you know, not compiling. All right? So what I did here was I just said input.person equals, and then I can just put my new person here. Now, this text here, person, has to be an exact match to the name of the argument in the workflow. It's case sensitive and everything, but that's just like the dictionary. So now when I look at this, I like this better than declaring the dictionary and all that. And then over here, ignore this first part for a minute, but look over here. I have workflow invoker, invoke my object, and then input. That's it. I don't have to convert it to a dictionary or anything like that. It implements iDictionary of string objects, so it's totally fine. Now, this part is about the out arguments. Okay? So what I want to do is get the out arguments from a dictionary that came in from the workflow invoker. So what this will do is give us the ability to write our greeting like this, if we want to. If we don't, if we want to use the indexer syntax, that works too. So you can do it either way. And that is the Workflow Arguments class. It's pretty cool, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you want to get more details on these things, you can go get the source of Microsoft Activities. You can look at it. If you want to see, you know, how do you unit test all this stuff? Well, I have tons of unit tests in here. You can look at them, learn about it, and see how it's all done. I hope you enjoyed that for App Fabric TV. I'm Ron Jacobs.